Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God was not with him." First of all, Nicodemus is kind of in a tricky situation here because he's a member of the Jewish ruling council, and on one hand, there's a strong group of them that are totally against Jesus. But there's also a group of them that recognize that prophecies are being fulfilled, that Jesus is preaching and teaching with authority, and not only that, but people are being healed. There's like significant signs going on that Jesus is the Messiah. But Nicodemus wants to make sure before he puts all his eggs in one basket. He wants to investigate. And the interesting thing is that he comes at night. He comes secretively. He doesn't necessarily want people to know that he's talking to Jesus. And I was reading different articles and they're like, oh, he's such a coward. He was too afraid. But I actually think it was brave of him just to come. Just to come and ask the question. And for some of us, even coming to church can be a very brave act. And I think Nicodemus was very brave to even ask the question, to even go out of his way to approach Jesus. There's different steps, I think, in coming to faith in Christ. And for everyone, we find ourselves at different places in our faith, in our story. It's almost like there's different chapters in our lives. And depending on where we're at with God, we're in that chapter. Everyone's in a different chapter. Nicodemus came and asked a question. He said, "We know you're a teacher who has come from God, because no one could perform the signs you are doing if God was not with him." And Jesus says this in verse 3. "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus asks, "Well, how can you be born again when you're old? Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answers, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying you must be born again." Jesus does not hold back. When he speaks truth, a lot of times I think, oh, he's so gentle, he's so soft, but when Jesus speaks truth, it's truth. It's not, well, you can be born again. That's an option. No, he says you must be born again. It's interesting. I was talking to a couple people this week. Actually, it was people who are teaching downstairs. And they were asking about what we were talking about because we started tying in our lessons for the kindergarten to grade 6 class to what's going on upstairs, so that it gives opportunity for parents to talk with their kids about what the lesson was, and they can tie it in together. But the neat thing was we were talking about it, and we were talking about how if you've been born again, you remember the moment. You remember that moment for the rest of your life. And I remember my moment. I was 9 years old when I decided to follow Jesus. I've been raised in the church all my life. And you can talk to my mom. I prayed the prayer that we always try and get people to pray, like it's some kind of magical formula that gets us into heaven. And I had prayed this prayer many times, but it was when I was 9 years old that I remember making that commitment to Jesus. And there was no fanfare, there was no big crowd, there was no beautiful band playing music that stirred my soul. I was by myself in a camper, and this is telling how old I am, in a camper driving to a family reunion. I was up in the cab the bed section over top of the cab, and I was there by myself as we drove down the road. And I remember this overwhelming sense that I needed God, And it was so strange because I was just up there playing, hanging out by myself, you know, being a kid. And all of a sudden it was just like, boom. And I just started praying. I just prayed. I'm like, God, I just know I need you. Please forgive me. Please, Jesus. I know I need you. I know you're real. Help me. And as soon as I prayed and accepted Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, peace just swept over me. I don't know how else to describe it. It was so peaceful. And I just remember, this is real. This is real. And different points in my life, I would go through challenges, different things that I faced. My teen years were a struggle for different reasons. A lot of times I was pretending, putting on masks, making my way through life, looking like the good Christian girl, but it was like I was a double agent or something, I don't know. But I got to a very dark place when I got to around the age of 18, 19 years old. And I got to a place where I really started to question everything. I really believe this is a natural place for our faith to go. We have to come to a place where we mature in our faith and we grow. But the thing that held me strong was knowing that Jesus was real. That experience when I was 9 years old, I was reminded of that, and I'm still reminded of that to this day. I know Jesus is real. I met him in that camper on the way to my family reunion. I know he's real. Everyone has a story. The teachers that I talked to downstairs are like, oh, yeah, I could tell you the day. I could tell you what happened. What, you know, they remember. There's impact. Jesus says you must be born again. It's a transformation that takes place. This being born again, he's not saying, like Nicodemus asks, oh, you can't go back into your mother's womb and to be born again. No, you can't. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying you are becoming a new creation. There is a transformation that takes place. Yes, there are things that we struggle with through our whole lives, and the Holy Spirit works in us to correct those things and to guide us and to change us and mold us to be more like Jesus. But there is a spiritual transformation that takes place when we are born again. There is. Like a butterfly transforming from a caterpillar, we are transformed. I was driving to church today, and I said to the kids, I just thought of something. When you meet Jesus, you are still you, but you're you new. Sophia thought that was funny. If no one else laughs, then at least she does. Verse 8, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. Jesus says, you are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Revelation of who Jesus is comes from God himself. He is the one who opens our eyes and our hearts. He reveals himself to us. And there's different ways that he does that. He does that through scripture. He does that through creation. The Bible tells us in different passages, in Psalms and in Romans and other places, that God is revealed through creation so that everyone knows there's something more than just this. But primarily, God reveals himself through Jesus. Even our faith is a gift from God. Our ability to believe, our ability to have our eyes open to the truth of who Jesus is a gift from God. But when he reveals himself to us, we have to recognize that and decide what we're going to do with that. Nicodemus was at this point. He recognized there was something unique about Jesus. He recognized that signs and wonders were taking place. He recognized that prophecies were being fulfilled. But he had to decide what he was going to do with that. And Jesus laid it on the line. People today make the argument that Jesus was a teacher. He was a good teacher. He had good things to say. He was a preacher. He had good things he preached about, and he taught people to do good stuff. Some people even recognize that he might have been able to do some special stuff, like heal people. But they have a tough time getting over that hurdle to seeing him as Savior. We are all faced with a choice to decide what we're going to do with truth. We need to pray that God opens our eyes and our hearts to be brave enough to make the choice to believe. For God so loved the world, verse 16, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We need to accept Jesus as Savior. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose again, and that God sent him for us, every single one of us. And the interesting thing when I was looking at this verse is not just accepting Jesus as Savior, it's understanding and accepting the fact that he loves us. That love transforms us. It's what changes us from the inside out. God's Spirit comes into us, and when we truly open up to him, we recognize how much, how deep, and how vast his love is for us. And that is what transforms us. It is hard for some of us to accept that love fully. Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again, and I would say that there are some of us who have decided, we believe, we are following Jesus, we are doing what we should do, but we're like babies who are holding our breath. We've been born again, and in the olden days, the doctors would take up the babies and they'd give them a little smack on the backside, so they'd cry and their lungs would open up and breathe in that air. And some of us have been born again, and we haven't breathed in. We're sitting here with blue faces, wondering why our chests are burning, and it's because we haven't taken in the fullness of God's love. If you have chosen to follow Jesus and you're still thinking, there has to be more than this, I am here to tell you there is. You need to breathe in that love. You need to let the Holy Spirit come into and fill you up to overflowing, because then when you know that love, you will know how to trust. You will know what joy is. You will know what peace is, but you have to take that breath, and it is a choice. Breathe deep. There is a reason why scriptures talk about being in Christ and knowing freedom. Being in Christ and knowing peace, because that's what we're intended to know. But we have to know his love first. That has to resonate in our hearts. It has to be the foundation on which our lives are built. Downstairs, the kids are talking about the same thing we're talking about up here. And one of the things I said when I was filling out the lesson, I'm like, so if you paint your skin green and ribbit, does that make you a frog? Of course it doesn't. How about if I hop around, start swimming in a pond, does that make me a frog? No, it doesn't. In order for a frog to be a frog, the DNA has to exist. For us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to really be fully living in his Spirit and having the life that God intended for us, there is a transformation that takes place. That love comes in and it changes our hearts. It transforms us. We become a new creation. You know, you only knew. A couple years ago, we were talking about the new creation. We were doing a science segment in our spring break camp. And I was talking about butterflies. Because when you talk about rebirth and all this, it's an obvious illustration. It's a go-to illustration. A butterfly. For the longest time, I thought once a butterfly makes a cocoon, I thought they spun a cocoon around their body, and then their little fat body gets skinny, and all of a sudden it sprouts wings. That is not at all what happens with a butterfly. The butterfly's body develops a thicker and thicker skin, which becomes the chrysalis. They don't spin a web around themselves or anything like that. There's no silk involved. They build a hard shell around their body, and it comes from their skin. Then inside is turned into this goopy, gooey mess. The DNA and all those little proteins are all in there, but it's a mess in there. And God takes that gooey, goopy mess and completely transforms it into a new creature. Completely transformed into a brand new butterfly. It's incredible. God's love for us transforms us. And so when we decide to follow him, we have to just rest in that love. Let it soak into us. Verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done and has been done in the sight of God. It's interesting, the more I come to understand that God loves me, the less I am worried about people finding out my secrets. There is no greater lie and hindrance to you coming into a right relationship with God than the idea that your sin is too great, it's too dirty, it's too dark for him to accept and love you. That you somehow have to keep that a secret from him. I'm here to tell you, you have failed awfully. He knows. He knows your sin. There's no secrets to keep anymore. There's nothing for you to hide anymore. And his love is deep, and it is strong, and it is wide, and it has covered that sin. Not only covered it, it has washed it away. You are made new. You are a new creation. There is nothing to be afraid of anymore. When we pray for each other, we come up to the front or we have our life groups where we pray for each other. It is important for us to share each other's burdens. It is hard to let other people in, to be vulnerable, but part of that, letting go and releasing that to people you trust, who are trustworthy, helps you to be released from the power of whatever's holding you back. We don't like darkness to be exposed a lot of the time because we're afraid of what people are going to say, what they're going to do, or what they're going to think. But I want to tell you, this community exists so that we can support each other, so that we can stand beside each other, and so that we can lean on each other when we feel weak. When we need to be strengthened and built up. Jesus' love for us brings us to a place where we can trust him with everything. And then shame has no power. We're no longer afraid. We're told in 1 John that perfect love drives out fear. And Christ's love is perfect. There's nothing to hide. You see, love sets us free from shame, from insecurity. Real freedom can only come when we begin to accept the love of Jesus. And in the light of the fullness of God's love, everything else pales, and we can live from a place of freedom. Everyone has a story. And everyone is in a different chapter in their story. I don't know what chapter you're in today, but we're all in our own chapter. Maybe God has revealed the truth of who Jesus is to you, and you recognize he's different and he's exceptional, and there's something that sets him apart from other religious teachers or religious ideas. Like Nicodemus, you've come kind of questioning and searching and hoping. Maybe you have believed and you accepted him as Savior, but you're still holding your breath. You're wondering why things aren't quite the way that you hoped they would be. You haven't inhaled that breath of fresh air, that love that he has for you, and that forgiveness hasn't been fully received. It's there. You just need to receive it. Or maybe you're just having trouble acknowledging Jesus as Lord. You believe, but it hasn't really been realized in the way that you live. You haven't humbled yourself and truly repented. Because I'm telling you, when we recognize who Jesus is, when we believe in who he is, and we acknowledge him as Lord, we don't need to be afraid anymore. We can let go of those things that we're holding back from him. We'll trust him, and then we'll move into the life that he has for us instead of trying to always design our own path. But it takes humbling ourselves and repenting. Jesus is waiting. He waits for each one of us, whatever place we're at. He waits for us. He shows us the truth, and then he waits to see what we'll do with that. Like Nicodemus, he doesn't force Nicodemus to make a decision in this passage. He doesn't say to Nicodemus, okay, here's the truth. You better make a choice now. He just says, here's the truth. It's waiting for you. Whoever you are, whatever chapter you find yourself in your story, here is the truth. It's waiting for you. It's up to you to turn the page to the next chapter. It's up to you to decide where the story goes from here. Deciding to follow Jesus at any point in your life is a very personal decision. But once you've made it, once you're there, I encourage you to share that with someone else. We'll celebrate with you. We'll party with you. We'll be excited with you, and we'll support you all along the way.